We're finally here. It's day one of the Cheltenham Festival, and this is the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. We are looking ahead post-declaration stage to every single race in the company, once again, of Rory De Largy and Ruby Walsh. Fresh Ruby Walsh off a winning nap at the weekend. Thank you very much, with Tully Hill doing the business. He should be going to Cheltenham, Ruby Walsh. He looked pretty good.
Yeah, he just was a bit late coming at the hand, PK, and didn't make the cut-off really to qualify. But yeah, look, he's a lovely horse with a big future and a bit of luck. He will go to Punchestown. Obviously, Ballyburn's not going to Cheltenham either. So if split them, maybe Ferry House and Punchestown, and look forward to them as novice hurdlers next year.
Looked very, very nice. That was last weekend. Let's get to Cheltenham, folks. There's so much to talk about. Every single race we're going to cover with extra places. And if you are a Paddy Power account holder, which you should be, seeing as you listen to this, you're going to get a free bet dropped into your account on Tuesday, on Wednesday and on Thursday. And that free bet for Tuesday's racing should already be in your account. Do check the promotions pages. You do need to opt in for it. So that's free bets, and you can use a single or a multiple on each of those 3 days at the festival. So watch out for those free bets dropping. Paddy's Pick 5 is back for every day of the festival, and 50 grand in the pot for each day as well. It wasn't one of the weekend. I think it was about 15 who managed to get to the 4 out of 5 winners. So 50 grand in the pot for each day, free to play. Again, if you want to play, do check the show notes for the races that we're looking at. And if you haven't had your Cheltenham fill by now, check out the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. There's so much on there to get you in the mood between now and race one, and even past race one. Shark Power, where we look ahead to Hewick hopefully going over for the Gold Cup. I'd say producer Mark is getting a little bit anxious with Shark himself saying at Goran that he's he didn't give a 50-50, but they don't want too much rain, do they? Did you see that, Ruby, on Racing TV?
Yeah, I was talking to him actually the other night, or the other lunchtime actually, and he was saying the same. And I got the feeling he'll go and he'll run. Obviously, it won't suit him, but look, he probably does need to have a run for the Grand National. So, it's as good a place as any, isn't it?
Well, producer Mark has already got Plan B in place, and he says that they'll extend that show to the Grand National if needs be.
I would have said that should have been the target anyway, because to me, when we get there by Friday, he's more a realistic Grand National horse than he is a Gold Cup horse.
Simple as that. So hopefully Hewick runs both races anyway. But do check that out amongst a brilliant Paddy Power Rewinds show as well, with yourself, Ruby, Rich Ritchie and Paddy Power. And the highlight was posted by the Paddy Power Twitter team this morning. Your face when watching Western Warhorse get up again in that article. It is something to behold. I don't know if you remember your face at that stage when you watched the replay, but it wasn't one of joy.
No. What do you think it would be, though?
No, I wouldn't, but I guess, you know, sometimes you could look back and you could smile with the wry smile, but there was no hint. It was...
Some things never leave you, PK.
How did that happen? Fan Zones, if you haven't got a place to watch Cheltenham as of yet, be it your home or down the pub with the lads or locals, do check out the Paddy Power Fan Zones. There's 3 of them on the 17th of March, aka Paddy's Day. We were doing it in Dublin, as we did last year. We're doing it in Galway and London, which are new. There's tickets available in the show notes, and it is great fun. Really, really good fun. Bring a few friends, and you'll get, you get all the Cheltenham action. You might get some merch as well, maybe even a free bet as well. So do check that out as well. Okay, I think I've covered everything for producer Mark. We now talk about the Cheltenham Festival. We've got the declarations. We start, as ever, with the Supreme Novice Hurdle. Let's call out the very first show. We're recording on Sunday at noon, so that means these are basically the first prices on offer since the declaration stage. 2-1 Facile Vega, 7-2 Marine Nationale, 11-2 Il Était Temps, who's been backed, 9-1 High Definition, 10-1 Tamoris, 12-1 Diverge, 14's Dr. Bravo, and 20-1 A Big of the Rest. Rory De Largy, how are you? I don't think I even said hello yet. How are you? Oh, he's muted. Oh my word, he's muted. Or else, I tell you what, he's actually, the old mic came out. Or could you hear him, Ruby?
No, and before we went live, Rory was most definitely working.
He was talking to us, he absolutely was.
Heard about his hotel that he stayed in last night, so whatever has gone wrong since you were pressed the record button, PK, I'm blaming you, I'm not blaming Rory. I think it's all on you.
Thanks very much.
I know you think you're a technical genius, but you've got this one wrong again.
I definitely do. I'll tell you what, while Rory fixes his mic, let's go to Ruby Walsh. Ruby, your thoughts on the Supreme?
I don't think there's any surprises, PK, at declaration time. The big guns stood their ground, and there's obviously strength in depth for each way. Punters with 14 runners, some will whinge that it's not the 20 of old, but look, I think there's 14 in here, and there's a couple you can probably count out, Palace Place and maybe Fenner Cross at this trip, but outside of that, none of the rest will shock you were they to be the eventual winner. Look, I've said it a few times now, PK, and I'm not going to change my mind. I think the best horse in the race is Facile Vega. I know he has that shocker to overcome at Leopardstown at the Dublin Racing Festival when he was beaten 20 lengths by Ilette Tomp. But I think the real Facile Vega ran at Christmas when he beat the same horse by 4 lengths. His work has been good at home. And I'm not pushing anybody here. It's a race that I would probably watch myself. I think Facile Vega is the most likely winner. There's no way I could go against him. It's the way, probably where I'm coming from.
That's fair enough. Just give us a word on the other two for Willie or the other runners.
Ilette Tomp obviously has the form with Facile Vega and he's a very good horse. But he has to improve. He was fifth in last year's Triumph and he has to get forward from there. Looks like he has. And Diverge improved from Christmas to win at Punchestown when he bolted in. Fast horse by Frankel. Wears a tongue tie for the first time. Not sure the slow ground would really be playing to his favour.
And Dark Raven with Daryl on board.
Oh, sorry, forgot about Dark Raven. Second to High Definition at Christmas. And I think the way they bought third even, was he? No, he didn't run behind him. He beat Dr. Bravo at Christmas. Dark Raven, yeah. I think he was well found out at the Dublin Racing Festival and I'd be surprised were he to turn the form when he let that thump.
Fair enough. So Ruby's not playing, but he wouldn't be against Facile Vega. Are you back in the land of audio, Rory Zalargi?
I hope I am. Can you hear me now?
You are. Well done.
Told you it was all PK's fault.
I lost connection to my microphone and I was fixing it. There's a mute button on the side of the microphone itself that I've accidentally pressed. So classic. Not a good start to the week.
Rory, that means it's your fault. Come on. We stuck it all on PK.
So I will blame PK for plenty between now and the end of the week, I'm sure. I'm against Facile Vega on the basis of his current price. We all saw what we saw at DRF. There were two mitigating factors there, but I'm not sure they're enough to justify backing him at 2-1 or thereabouts in a race like this. I was coming around to Marine National, then it occurs to me that laying a horse like this out for the Supreme with no run between the start of December and the middle of March is a very bold ploy. And I can't think of any Supreme winners who've done similar. Really, you generally need to get experience coming into this race to some degree. And although Marine National clearly looks very, very classy and has more to offer. And, you know, if this turns into a race where a turn of foot wins it, he very much has that. I just thought Ilette Tomp was a tremendous each way bet here, because I think the Irish contingent are better than the English. I don't think Tamuris really achieved that much in the Tolworth. He's clearly capable of better if he jumps better, and no doubt they'd have worked on his jumping, but he doesn't. I think he needed to be a proper slog to be laying it down to the Irish challenge. I'm not at all keen on High Definition's jumping. He doesn't just jump out to his right. He also gets too high at his back end as well, and he was almost on the floor once before he did eventually unseat his rider at the DRF. I don't like him. So I just thought, you know, with the fact that I'm against the top two in the market and a couple of those immediately behind aren't entirely convincing, but Ilette Tomp is really, really solid from an each-way perspective. I find it hard to see him out of the frame. I know he's a second-season novice. We saw what he did in Triumph Hurdle last year, but he's clearly needed experience. And I thought he came on again for Christmas. I know he was beaten by Facile Vega there, but he's clearly taken another step forward to win at the DRF. And he'll get a very good ride here from Danny Mullen. So he looks a good start to this each way.
Lovely. Ilette Tomp for Rory, as mentioned, Ruby, on, a pass essentially, but wouldn't be against Facile Vega. Could this, Rory, you're the stats man, you're the historical man. There could be three novice events this year won by three second season novices. Ilette Tomp, Gaia de Menil, and Gaelic Warrior, all novices last year, could all win novices this year. I assume that's never been done.
No, I don't think so. And of course, obviously, in the old days, you think, let's go back 40 or 50 years. You didn't have those races anyway. So it was pretty unusual. You didn't have the array of novice events. So it made it even less likely to happen. So I'm pretty sure that has never happened before. But it's not a massive price to happen this time around, is it?
No, the old treble, you could do an old treble, but just thought it was interesting because I'm a bit of a nerd. Right, we move on to the Arkell Chase chew off at 2:10. It is obviously the 2-mile novice chase. El Fabiolo has just gone favourite on Sunday morning on his own at 6-4, Sunday afternoon. John Bond 13-8. They're going to battle out favourites in the whole week or the whole weekend into Tuesday. 9-2 Dicer Dynamo. San Juan's 8-1. It's 40s Bar Hador, interestingly declared amongst those. By the way, if you pop into a Paddy Power shop and you have a bet in this race, exclusive retail offer. Money back all losers if John Bond wins. That's a cracking offer, up to a tenner. All right, Rory, I'll go back to you for this one. Is it a match?
It should be a match. I mean, you could say that if this ends up being strongly run, with Dicer Dynamo liable to set the pace, then it brings the likes of San Juan into. And we didn't see what San Juan could do at the DRF because he had that soft unseat. And a very strongly run race will sort of drag him into it. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that either Dicer Dynamo gets an easy-ish lead and on a sharper track gets away from them a little bit. Or if he goes too hard and doesn't get home, he's then bringing San Juan in. So it's certainly 2.5 horses, just a case of identifying which those are. So there are possibilities that this, especially if you've got Aidan Coleman and Paul Tynan sort of looking at each other and riding this as if it's a match. I don't think that's going to happen, but it can happen in races like this, and that can throw up a slightly strange result. And you know, the market is certainly not ruling out either Dicer Dynamo or San Juan, and I can see the each way claims of both of them. I think San Juan is probably the more appealing from an each way perspective because he's not going to be in the heat of the battle. He's going to be coming through late, and if you're looking for something to just pick up the pieces later on and grab a safe place, I think he's a better one to back than Dicer Dynamo, who could win the race, but he could also blow himself out by trying to do that. Off the big two, I prefer El Fabiolo. Listen, I've been speaking to a fair few people here. The general consensus is that John Bond's a better jumper than El Fabiolo, therefore John Bond should win. I don't really buy into that. I was really impressed with the way El Fabiolo recovered from meeting a couple of fences wrong at Leopardstown last time out. And in that regard, I thought how he went through that really strongly run race. And there's two things to point out about the Irish Arkle. A, it's a stiffer test. This is a longer trip and a fair drag to the line at Leopardstown. But also, it was the strongest run 2-mile novice we've seen this season by some way, and possibly the strongest run 2-mile race of any description we've seen all season. And I thought El Fabiolo coped with that better than anything else. I thought he always looked comfortable. And I would prefer him to John Bond, because one thing, we know John Bond jumps well. He does jump a little bit to his right if he isn't quite 100%, but he hasn't really made a mistake over fences. My worry with him is, if he does make a mistake, how does he recover from it? Whereas what we know with El Fabiolo, if he makes a mistake, he shrugs it off. He's been very impressive. And obviously, you learn from your mistakes as well. So I expect this jumping to be better here. And however fast Dicer Dynamo goes, I don't think that'll get El Fabiolo on his head at all. So he looks a really solid selection to me. I think he beats John Bond.
Lovely. El Fabiolo for Rory. Just keep an eye on San Juan each way. Ruby?
Yeah, I'd be kind of agreeing exactly what Rory said. And I think El Fabiolo has shown us he can clout one and knows exactly how to save himself. So you'd have to be with that. I think Dicer Dynamo will improve John Bond, though. I'm pro making the running with horses, but the horses that make the runner need to be leaders, and I'm not sure John Bond is a leader. I think he'd be a better horse with something actually giving him a toe. So I expect him to improve, but I think El Fabiolo has as well. I think El Fabiolo will win the race. As regards having a bet, I'd be for St. Roy each way at 8-1 with the 9 runners. I think with Dicer Dynamo in there, the 3 of these are going to go hard, and there's no way the 3 of them are going to keep going. And I think St. Roy will come and pick up the pieces. How many pieces he picks up is the question. And at 8-1 each way, I'd be with him.
All right. A couple of votes essentially for Fabiolo on the win market.
Definitely
for San Roy each
Fabiolo
way.
To win the race. But I think from a value point of view, I'd be going the other way.
No, your ringtone's nowhere near as nice as Rory's was. That lullaby one at the weekend was much, much, much nicer. All right.
I'll be hearing that again.
I would never hear it again. Okay, that is the Arkle done and dusted. Move on to the 250, a.k.a. the Ultima. 3 miles and a furlong. And looking at the market now, remember, we're going to go 6 places online in this one. 6 places each way. So If you're looking for one each way, this is a cracking race. We'll also do that for the Boodles, the Fred Winter later. Corak Rambler looking for another win is 6-1 favourite as we record 15-2 Inter Overdrive for Mark Walford. Fast or Slow, who listened to Frank Hickey's incredible preview of the entire festival, which is already available as a podcast. He mentioned this was the worst result for Paddy Power. 8-1 Nassalam, Oscar Elite 10s, 12-1 Happy Go Lucky, and 300-5 The Goffer and 14 Spar. All right, Ruby, back to you. Fond memories of Dundeera in this race. Is there a Dundeera lurking here?
Well, there could be PK, but if there is, I'm afraid I'll have to listen to the grapevine to hear it coming, because I don't see it. Fast or Slow has been on many people's radars, and as you said, Frank Hickey has highlighted him. Was second to Compound at the Punchestown Festival last year over hurdles. He's only had the two starts over fences this season behind Gallop and the Champ and behind Gentleman to Me. That's because he had run over fences in Auteuil and he wasn't a novice, so trying to find a race to run him in. It was September of 19. That he won a chase, so not qualified for novice chases, didn't have a handicap mark, so he ended up going around in two really good races, the John Dorkin and the 2 miles then at Leopardstown behind Gallop Gentleman to Me. He would be a huge result, and the best of luck to Martin Brazel and the Mun Ryans, of course, who sponsor the Ballymore. As regards picking one, I have a sneaky suspicion for Fanny and Destreval with Lucy Turner claiming 5. I know he is top weight, but that brings him back down to 11-9. And at 33-1 each way in a race, I don't have a massive strong opinion on. I'd prefer to be having something each way on him and be hoping he'll be staying on plus plenty of tired rivals.
Lovely. Okay. Big price shout there, Fanny and Destreval. Rory, floor is yours.
I didn't think this was a great race. The horses I was interested in this haven't run in it, particularly Iron Bridge, who I thought was really interesting, and John Joe's not. Hasn't confirmed him for either of his entries at the festival. He said he wouldn't run him because the ground was against him. Well, the ground has changed, but the horse is still a non-runner. So that's throwing me off a little bit. I also thought Beauport would be interesting here, and he goes for the Kim Muir instead. I could give the big breakaway a chance despite his big weight. He ran really well under 11-13 in the Welsh National. You need extra stamina for this race. I know it's only 3 miles and a furlong, but they always go hard. And this does tend to go to a horse who stays really well, which is why I'm wary of backing horses who are unproven at the trip. And what puts me off Fast or Slow, Fast or Slow's been on my radar before he ran at Leopardstown. I actually backed him to finish second in that race because I thought he had the ability to get amongst them. But he was sat out the back and never got involved, and you know, looked like he was in need of further. But his two runs over fences so far have come in Ireland have come over 2.5 miles and 2.1 miles. And I know he clearly stays 2.5 miles well, but whether he wants to step up to a testing 3 miles and a furlong straight away is a worry. And it kind of puts me off backing him at a shortish price. And again, you know, although he's caught the eye twice, he's not entirely been missed with a mark of 150 either. So I'm reluctantly moving away from him. I've always really liked Inter Overdrive, but if it's genuinely soft ground, that will be too soft for him. He wants good. He handles good to soft, but I don't think he wants it deep. As I find when I backed him really early in his chasing career, I was convinced he was going to be a better chaser, but I managed to lose my money on him off a really low mark. And now he is 147. I'm coming round to Corak Rambler again. He's been off since running in the Coral Gold Cup. I was initially put off by that. I don't like these long layoffs. And I went through the stats, and actually horses who have been off the track between 3 and 5 months have a better record in this race over the years than those who've had, you know, what you would think is the ideal break. Horses have been off maybe for 4 to 6 weeks. So the fact that he's been off since the end of November is not a negative. He won the race well last season. He'll get the same ride this time around from Derek Fox, who will wait and wait and come with a late run. It may well be that something gets away from him, but from an each way perspective, at what is he, 6-1?
Yeah, bang on at the moment.
I don't think he'll go off at 6-1. I think he has to be supported here. Because it's hard to find really solid ones against them. Nassalam's been favourite for this anti-post. I don't get that at all. I do not get Nassalam as a favourite for this race. Again, all his form has been between 2 and 2.5 miles. He has suggested once or twice that he would stay further, but he's untried. And this is not a race to be trying a horse over the chip for the first time. So I'm against him. And yeah, I went through the race. And there were very few I could be really solid about. I like Oscar Elite. He's not badly handicapped on the form that he showed when he was placed in this race last year, but he does break blood vessels and the softer ground puts more pressure on him. So that's slightly off-putting. And so I ended up really struggling for one that I wanted to be with against Cormac Rampler, and therefore I'm coming back to him. The one I should mention that I have, and who I think could come in for some support, is Happy Go Lucky, who was favourite for this race a couple of years ago. Again, he's been off the track for 10 weeks or so since running over a chip that was too short for him in the paddy, in that handicap chase here on New Year's Day, the Paddy Power New Year's Day handicap chase, indeed. He'd be interesting, but Kim Bailey's struggling for winners at the moment as well. So lots of negatives, I thought, for a lot of these. And the one that had hardly any negatives was Cormac Rampler. I think he probably goes off a fair bit shorter than 6-1. So I'd be happy to take that with the extra places as well, particularly given his run style. He looks rock solid.
There you go. Yeah, Cormac Rampler, kind of a default. So to be more ruling out everything else. And dropped a pound for that run in the old Hennessy, now the Carl Gold Cup. I mean, he was fourth. He wasn't beaten that far.
But, no, and of course, he's, you know, that's some...
That was over there.
Yeah, very good run, I thought. So.
Yeah. All right, move on to the feature. Day one, it is the Champion Hurdle. We have, unfortunately, I know a lot of people who wanted their accounts closed were looking for 8 runners in this race, but I'm afraid to say you've got the 7 to play with. So each way, 2 places. Constitution Hill, it remains 1-3 favourite. State Man, 130. Vauban, next at 11-1. I like to move at 16-1. A lot of people are on him anti-post. Each way, 3 places, so they'll probably be happy enough. But now... he's 16-1, 2 places. 50-1, Zan here. 100-1, Not So Sleepy. And Jason the Militant, 150-1. Now, before I get your thoughts, lads, obviously a lot of people are going to be looking at this and may just be watching the race, looking for a superstar. That's fine. And some will be looking at the forecast, which we've got priced up, the straight forecast, Constitution Hill and State Man to finish 1-2. We've got Constitution Hill to win by 4 lengths or more and State Man to finish 2nd. That's boosted as well. There's loads of different ways of getting involved. Do check out paddypower.com. But Ruby Walsh, a lot of talk about this race. It hasn't really changed in the last kind of 4 to 5 weeks. Has anything in your mind changed about it?
No, it hasn't, PK. I think with the likes of Not So Sleepy and Jason the Militant in, even it probably makes it a little even bit more straightforward for Nicola Bonneville. Both of those like to go forward. So you're looking for a front runner. You've got both of them, and I like to move it. That's 3 of the 7 that will go forward. So it becomes even a more tactically easier race for Nicola Bonneville to ride. Now, obviously then, he doesn't want to be right behind Not So Sleepy for a start, because God knows what he'd do. And you most certainly don't want to get brought down on a 3-1 unshot by a 100-1 shot. So whereas the lad pace for him, they may make it a little bit tricky as in regards, does he go in or stay out? But I'd imagine he won't get behind them, but he'll ride them very uncomplicated up there, right behind that pace. If they're not going quick enough, Nico won't be afraid to go on. And whatever happens, Nico will put this horse upsides at the top of the hill, and he will start to up the ante from there. And he is, I think he's the best horse. I wasn't sure, I suppose, leaving Cheltenham last year. I thought, wow, is that real? Or was that just the makeup of the race making him look spectacular when Dysart Dynamo and John Bond went too quick? But what he's done this season would make you believe, yeah, last year's supreme. My eyes weren't lying. It was spectacular. I think he'll win. I think Stateman will chase him home. And I'm afraid with 7 runners, it doesn't matter then, PK, what's going to be third.
It really doesn't, apart from those connections picking up the few quid. Rory?
Yeah, it's a real shame it doesn't matter who's going to finish third, because Jason the Militant's going to finish third. And it's just, I'm trying to find a way of making money out of that. He's a horse I tipped up on the podcast before Jason the Militant, when he was running he was due to run on...
On heavy ground at
Haydock, and I thought he was very interesting for new connections. I spoke to someone with a connection at the yard last night, and they were very positive about him, because I thought he ran well at Cheltenham in a handicap there when he did eventually make his debut for Phil Kirby. He faded out of it late, and again, I was wondering, has he developed a bit of a problem? Because he was quite a cheap purchase given the class that he has. But he's a Group 3 horse in the flat, for goodness sake. And it's not that long ago he was winning good races over hurdles. So I was a little bit concerned about, was there something underlying? And they said, oh, no, Phil Kirby's, Phil's really happy with him. He was only 85% fit for the handicap he ran in. He ran well for a long way and just faded from the last hurdle. If he comes on from that, listen, he would have been a much more interesting horse in the county hurdle, without the shadow of a doubt, particularly if it rains later in the week. But I could see him, Not So Sleepy can make the running, but Not So Sleepy didn't want to go on in the Fighting Fifth earlier in the season, and he doesn't always want to cross the start line. So I thought Jason the Militant might be allowed, just because he will go forward. They'll be happy for him to set an even pace, and they'll largely ignore him in front. I think he still retains the ability to finish around the frame in a Champion Hurdle. He's an absolutely massive price, 150-1 generally. you might even get bigger than that. But I want to find a way of making a few bob.
I have a way.
Is there is there a tri-cast declared on the race?
I'm pretty sure there will be, but I need to be. I usually get an email from SAS telling me when they are. But what we've got right now on site is betting without the top two. So you bet without State Man, you can bet without, and also Constitution Hill. So just for those listening, maybe for the first time, essentially you remove those two horses from the race. So if you finish third, but State Man and Constitution Hill are first and second in either order, you have won that race. So betting without the top two, it's called betting without option C currently on site. And he's 14-1. If you do fancy having a go, that's Jason Middleton, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think that's too bad. I'd probably have a little spin up with him in the without Constitution Hill market, because you get a much bigger price with State Man being a very short price for that particular bet. I just think Jason Middleton will outrun his odds, and it's just a case of being able to monetize that, as they say in the trades. There's no point backing one each way and saying, hasn't that run a cracker in third, but you've got nothing to show for your stake at the end of it. There has to be a way of making a few bob doing that.
You can do it each way as well, by the way, two places with that option C, i.e. betting without the top two. So there you go. Look, if you want it. That's Jason Middleton. You can either bet him
without... You may explain that one to me now. So Constitution Hill beats State Man, and if you're each way Jason Middleton without two, you can finish third or fourth.
Correct. As long as State Man and Constitution Hill are ahead in front of you.
Yeah, and that's...
If they finish first and third, does that count?
Yes, then you're second. Yeah, then you're
second or fourth count for the place part of that.
Yeah, second and fourth will be the place part. So you need to finish inside the top four, obviously. Yeah,
and those two. And,
or if you finish second, you'll have won.
And listen, I'm betting each way two places in a five runner race is a lot more enticing than betting two places in a seven runner race.
I was told I was a mug in earlier podcasts about that. Oh, by Rory, obviously. Don't be a mug. But I think it was each way in a seven runner race, and I think you were telling me I was a mug.
Yeah, each way in a seven runner race is the worst mathematical scenario for you.
Is it?
In terms of the places on offer and the division of odds.
Yeah. Well, you're talking to a lad who used to go all in whenever he got 2-7, because he's like, I'll absolutely win every poker hand with that. Right, just to recap on the champion hurdle, it's the straight forecast for Ruby, Constitution Hill to beat State Man, Jason Middleton without the top two in the betting Rory, but I'm going to put it...
I think Constitution Hill will win this, and will win this very well.
Oh, very well. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to nail you to a distance, lads. I'm getting all the extra markets covered here, because Paddy Power have got the over-under essentially around six lengths. It's around even money for him to win by six lengths or more. So are you playing over or under there, lads? Does he win by six or does he win by seven?
The way he'll be ridden, to me, would suggest he'll win by almost as far as he can. That is Nico's style of riding. He won't be... looking to get a lead over the last to pull out and win halfway up the running. He will take this race by the scruff of the neck, probably from the third last hurdle. It's where he'll get upsides going to that. He will land over the second last hurdle and kick this horse on off the home turn. So if you're thinking of what way it would play, I think it will play long rather than short.
Lovely.
As a rule, with those markets, they tend to favour the sort of pessimistic side, backing horses to win by... By lesser margins, because it's a natural flaw on the punter that you want your horse to win by a big margin, and you're looking to multiply your odds, and the margins that you end up the punters think are fair are probably, or the distances the punters think are fair are probably overstated in most cases. So generally speaking, you want to be on the short side of that, but in this case it might be slightly different. I did hear Nico de Boinville quoted as saying, when someone said, how far are you going to win by, he said, well, we've got to think about Aintree and Punchestown after this. Whether they are thinking of Aintree and Punchestown, I don't know.
I love to remind Nico of that, and he's heading off to home tournament. Whereas look, if you went back in time and Barry Geraghty was still first jockey to Nicky Henderson, different style of riding. Barry will be timing him to be upsides of the last, so he will definitely be on the pessimistic side, but not with Nico. Just different styles of riding. Yep.
That's a really good angle, and I'm now looking at the length in your odds option of 20 lengths to more, seeing as that's what he did last year, and that's 9-1. Lovely jolly, there we go. That's the length in your odds options. We've covered all the extra markets. I should be getting the old exceeding in the HO review for that one, lads. That's one for you, traders.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
That is the champion hurdle covered. We move on to an absolute belter of a mare's hurdle. And as we record on Sunday afternoon, the curveball that was Marie's Rock was chucked in there. Little grenade by Connections. She's in, not going for the Paddy Power Stairs. So she's now the 3-1 joint favourite with Honeysuckle. Honeysuckle on the drift. She was 2-1 a couple of days ago. Epitant 4-1, supplemented as we know. 30-2 Brandy Love for Paul Town and Willie Mullins in the Joe and Mary Donnelly Silks now. 8-1 Love Envoy. She's 8-1. She won last year. It's 9-1 Echoes and Rain. Patrick Mullins has the job of keeping her nice and calm. It's then 16-1 Queensbrook, 22-1 Theatre Glory, 25s. She wears it well, and 100-1 Midnight Ginger. Have to start with you, Ruby, given Willie's, I was going to say stranglehold, lots of runners, but the best of his chances is 13-2 now.
Yeah, Brandy Love, and obviously Paul picked her. She will have improved considerably from her run at Punchestown, and going left-handed will definitely be a huge factor for her, big help to her. Marie's Rock obviously changes this race completely, and I was against Honeysuckle, and with Marie's Rock chucked in there, I think it'll be even harder again for Honeysuckle. Honeysuckle is what my heart wants to win here, even though I'm in the Willie Mullins camp. It most definitely is for everybody that's associated with Honeysuckle and the year they've had. I would gladly stand on the roof of the ITV truck and roar Honeysuckle home, but I'm not sure it's going to happen, PK. And it's the result I would love to see here more than any other result this week. But unfortunately, I don't think it can happen. As regards picking something to fancy here, I think those three mares on top, Honeysuckle, Marie's Rock and Epitant, I think they're going to make very good younger mares great prices in this race. I think Brandy Love at 13-2 is a great each way play. I would be slightly worried about the rain for Echoes and Rain. But the one at a massive price, who's very lightly raced and has turned the corner completely in recent times at a massive price, as she wears it well at 25-1. I thought she was really good at Christmas when she beat Queensbrook in Leopardstown. She's a rating of 148, which puts her above Theatre Glory, puts her above Queensbrook, puts her above Love Envoy, and a pound behind Brandy Love, and she's 25-1. There's each way, there's 10 runners. I just think she could sneak in the money at a massive price each way, but I'd be going with the two Willie Mullins mares each way, Brandy Love, and she wears it well.
Splitting stakes on the two Mullins mares, the two of the Mullins mares, and it could be an interesting week for Danny Mullins, couldn't it? He rides, she wears it well. Rory?
I'll just keep it simple here. I think Marie's Rock is the best mare in the race, and she's going to be hard to beat. She's improved again this season. When I looked at she's going for the stairs hurdle, I thought that was the wrong call for her because she can still be a little bit free in her races. She's a lot more controlled than she was, but I worried that she wouldn't see out 3 miles on soft ground on the new course. This is ideal for her, this course and distance, as she's shown twice. There aren't any holes in her. She's still going forward, whereas one or two of those towards the top are arguably regressive. Both Honeysuckle and Epitant. I thought Epitant has done pretty well this season, but she hasn't been hitting the same heights form-wise that Marie's Rock has. Her win in the Relkeel hurdle last time out, I thought was a really, really solid performance. And a repeat of that, I think, wins this.
There you go. Keeping it simple, Marie's Rock, potentially a very good late switch by Connections to go for the Mayor's hurdle. Brilliant, brilliant renewal of the Mayor's. Really looking forward to that. And now we move on to the juveniles for the first time this week. The Fred Winter, the Boodles Fred Winter Juvenile Hurdle, the handicap 450. It's due off 6 places each way on paddypower.com for this one. And Willie Mullins has got the favourite Takao in the JP Silks, meaning Mark Walsh will take the ride. 11-2 for Biker for Charles Burns, who was hoping to have a big week and he still might. We know Shoot First doesn't run now later in the week. Risk Bell for Willie also 8-1. 8-1 for Bad. Rachel Blackmore teaming up with Ben Pauling. That's eye-catching. Ex-French making handicap debut, or at least UK debut anyway. Perseus Way, Sir Alan Bow 10-1. It's 12-1 and bigger the rest. A few here for you, Ruby, again to go through on the Willie Mullins camp, but Takao looks certainly the number one according to the betting.
Yeah, crack and run, PK, at the Dublin Racing Festival behind Lossiemouth and Gallimarsaw, actually. So look, that's rock solid form. Hasn't been missed by the handicapper. He's 11-5 to carry, but Mark Walsh has picked him out of 3 possible rides for JP McManus. So you'd have to respect that call. Was no match for Comfort Zone at Navan and then beat Ascending at Leopardstown. Just, he's by Dr. Dino, so there should be no issue with stamina. But he did look a little bit weak in Navan finishing. I thought Biker was quite good at Nace and then didn't get much of a run behind Sir Alan. Rachel, obviously, as you've said, is an interesting booking for Bad. I'm not going to even try to read that form or make head nor tail of it, because I'm struggling to figure out the Irish and English stuff, let alone the French. Rhys Bell had a heavy fall in her last start. I thought, look, I think the cow, if he gets up the hill, is a decent horse. So I'd be with him. As regards each way, I think with cheek pieces on for the first time, Sundial could be interesting. I think if you go strictly on numbers through his win at Navan in a mile and six maiden back in October, where he beat Uxmal, Believe in Science, and Summer Gale. Well, Believe in Science is rated 72, and Sundial, you know, beat that at over 11 lengths, almost 12 lengths. So make him mid-80s flat horse, and you look at his weight and rating here, he's just got in as number 20. He's a rating of 120 for Porrick Roach, last year's winning trainer. He just could be interesting at 12 to 1.
Couple of selections then for Ruby Takeo at the top of the market, and Sundial each way is an interesting shout indeed for last year's winning trainer. Rory?
I like one in here who doesn't fit any of the trends at all. Just a horse I really like from watching him this season. And I think he's got the run style to run into the frame. I don't think he can win this race because there's always a plot or two in there, and he's been very honestly campaigned. But Mr. Freedom is the rank outsider of this field. General 40 to 1 short for it. And he caught my eye. He ran out in the Wednesday deal, and obviously heard at Weatherby. In reality, he was forced off the track that day. He was squeezed for room and had to duck the other side of the wing when he was traveling much the best. The only time he hasn't run to form was his start after that, where he was fancied for the Grade 2 Triumph Hurdle Trial when he only finished fifth behind Scriptwriter. That was a little bit disappointing, but he was straight back on track afterwards. He was unlucky on his handicap debut against older horses at Plumpton. He ran into trouble on the bend and then finished off quite well. He's come from a bad position to win back on the flat at Lingfield in January. Similarly, came from a poor position against older horses and a handicap at Warwick on his next start. And they ran him then again at Doncaster, looking to get a £5 penalty to get into this race. Now, I thought he would sneak in anyway off 120. And I'd rather he hadn't run there. But he would have won that race if he jumped the last. Despite the fact that he only finished third and he was never in front, he traded 8-1 on and running. And he's just got too tight to the last, lost a lot of momentum, and then picked up again close home to be beaten just over a neck. I thought that was a very good run. He's just a really likable character, and he's really solid. Clearly, the form that he's shown is as good as anything in this race, but you know that he can run to that. You don't expect him to improve any further, to be perfectly honest, and a few of these will. But he does come from off the pace, and he finishes strongly in his races. Whether he'd want it very soft is a slight question mark, but it was soft at Plumpton when he ran pretty well there. And I think he would have been closer with a clear run. He probably prefer good ground, but I can see this race being run at a really strong pace. It's a maximum field. There are 7 or 8 who want to go forward, and I think that guarantees a strong pace, unlike last year's running. And if it is strong, you're going to get horses, you know, beginning to fall by the wayside, coming to the last and up the run-in, and Mr. Freedom will be picking his way through the field and hopefully grabbing third or fourth or fifth. I'd be amazed if he's well enough handicapped to win it. But everything else about him, his attitude, his solidity, his consistency, suggests he should be there or thereabouts. Of the Irish, of the horses who could be well handicapped, I thought Metamorpheus was very interesting. He was only fifth of sixth in that Nace race, the Jim Nolan Transport supporting Kill GAA rated novices hurdle. That is a race.
Kill GAA now, whatever you do.
Indeed.
That'll be my club. Don't be slagging Kill GAA,
no,
whatever happens.
No, no knocking Kill GAA. It's been a great race for this because what's the last four?
Will they rename it to the Boodle's Pointer?
The Boodle's Pointer. Boodle's Trial. Yeah.
Kill GAA pointing to the Boodle's.
Plenty of winners of this have come from that race and they've actually have won it. And it was interesting that quite a lot of trainers have aimed horses at that race. Not so much as an ideal trial. It almost seems like a pilgrimage. If you win the Kill GAA race, you've got a blessing going to Cheltenham. And so five of the six who ran there are running in this race, and they all shaped well to varying degrees and for different reasons. Metamorphosis was the biggest eye catcher, I think, because he was held up out the back, never really got on terms. in a race that didn't suit hold up horses anyway. It wasn't running a particularly solid gallop. He's got in getting weight from the others with just 10 stone nine. That was his debut for Paul Nolan as well. Paul Nolan's won this race before. I just looked like I thought he was building up to something. You could certainly give Sir Alan chances on that. He looked very game and battling back to win that day. But he's going to sit a lot closer to the pace of the Metamorphosis Dolls. And I think that's going to be a lot more difficult to do in this race. So off those, I thought Metamorphosis was interesting. Obviously, Biker's interesting from that race as well. Caught the eye in third. He will definitely improve for a stiffer test, but he's very well found in the market. That's the only negative with Biker, that he's been picked up from that race, whereas I thought Metamorphosis shaped pretty well and is a bigger price.
Yeah, don't think you find too many Charles Burns horses not found in the market.
Indeed.
So Metamorphosis there. But main selection, obviously, Mr. Freedom, who's, as you said, the rank outsider. It's a big shout. Keep an eye on Metamorphosis.
He's definitely an extra places horse.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. For Sheena West, it'd be amazing to see Sheena West
Sheena West can get herself on the winner's podium at Cheltenham. It'll be tremendous stuff.
Yeah. It'd be some crack. To go back to Ruby saying, as mentioned, to Cow at the favourite, but also Sundial each way. And I'll shout, not a tip, but absolutely best of luck to Mighty Mo Missouri for Jessica Harrington. If you missed it, she announced on a separate podcast that she's recovering from breast cancer. We wish her the very best in that recovery. As far as I can tell, sounds like she's very positive. And I think she does have a handful of runners over the course of the festival. So fingers crossed she gets a nice result there as well. She runs Mighty Mo Missouri in that race, currently 20-1. Right, we move on to the final event on day one. It is the National Hunt Challenge Cup. I very nearly said the four-miler. It's not been a while. It's not been a four-miler for a while. Guyer de Menil. Patrick has got Guyer de Menil in the race. He spoke to Willie Mullins. He spoke to Joe Marie Donnelly. I imagine Ruby Walsh. And he said, this horse is a National Hunt Challenge Cup horse. He is not an RSA horse or Brown Advisory. And he looks far too good for these, Ruby.
You're hoping he is. He's running last year's Brown Advisory. Might be good enough when he was third behind Lompresse and Ahoy Senor. Beat Churchstone Warrior at Leopardstown. And there's no match for Mighty Potter at a short trip either side of that. But he does look the one to beat PK. If you are picking a hole in him, could you raise the question, did he get home in last year's Irish Grand National behind Lord Lariat? Well, he pucks away on that occasion. And a mistake at the second last most certainly didn't help him. I think he'd be very hard to beat. Gordon is throwing plenty of darts at him in Chemical Energy, Fakira, Manila Crooner, John McConnell is having a go with Mahler Mission. But I think it all set up for Gaillard de Menil, and he'll be hard to beat in the lucky last. If Willie Mullins had his blowout before then, this fella will get him out of trouble.
Yeah, I'd say so. I know in the Cheltenham Countdown, it seems like a long time ago when we were in the studio, Rory, and you said, I think he could go off somewhere close to 4-6. Could still happen. He's even money as we record on Sunday. Does he win?
Yeah, there's more opposition than I thought there would be. Although, interestingly, I thought his most interesting opponent, looking at this race over the last few months, would have been Churchstone Warrior, who hasn't been declared for the race. I suspect he doesn't win as if he's got a stone in hand, but he's got a stone in hand. I think he might have to win ugly here, but for all he's unlikely to go off at the skinny odds that I thought he would, the way people are looking at this, he's still impossible to get away from. I don't think he is like a proper 4 mile national horse, but he clearly stays beyond three. And the way this race is run in recent years, it's less of a test of attrition and more of just a high quality graded staying chase. He's going to be exceptionally hard to beat, and I've got no intention of being against him at odds against. And he is a shade of odds against at the moment. I think he has to start shorter than the current price. I think the anti-post price, there was always a slight doubt that he might defect somewhere else, so no one really wanted to get stuck into him at a very short price. And his current price sort of still reflects that. It reflected his position in the market beforehand. But I think now you've got to look at the form in the book and the opposition on the table, and he must shorten up. I do think he is, he's got to be 4-5 or shorter. Whether he goes off as skinny as I thought he might have done when we thought this could end up being another 5 or 6 runner race, perhaps not, but his price is going one way, surely.
Yeah, we say it's not a 5 or 6 runner. There's only 5 at single figure prices in the race. So that is the National Chase, and Guyer de Menil should win it. Right, lads, that's day one covered. It's time for the naps, the best bet on day one. And Ruby Walsh, what is your best bet on day one, please?
I'm going to go for Gaillard in the last PK. I know he's tight, but people might need to be getting a few quid into Katie for Wednesday's racing. Tuesday can be hard at Cheltenham, and I'm going to go for him as my nap in the last.
Marathon, not a sprint, as they say. So Gaillard Domeniel to get William Mullins, I say, off to a good start. Hopefully he will have had for his backers.
Hopefully we won't be relying on that. But
William
Mullins could have won the Supreme, not the one you backed, could have won the Arkham, but not the one anyone's backed. He could be out to win in 3 or 4 of these races, but not with the obvious one. So for punters, Gaillard Domeniel.
Fair enough. Gaillard Domeniel, the nap on day one for Ruby. Rory?
I think at the current prices, Marie's Rock would be my nap of the day.
Marie's Rock in the Mare's Hurdle. So Gaillard Domeniel in the 5:30, whilst Marie's Rock runs in the, it's the 4:10, isn't it? Yes, it is. It's the 4:10. That's it, lads. That's day one wrapped up. Lovely stuff. You're both heading there. I'm very jealous.
I'll tell you what's more, PK. This will be the last of the chit-chat for these podcasts for the rest of the week. Both myself and Rory will be under pressure here on. So I hope you enjoyed today's chat. It's going to be pure hardcore tipping from here on.
The two lads are going to be recording from the press room from basically, well, not tomorrow, Monday we record ahead of Wednesday's action. So, you know, I know you'll both be in
jail. It might still be the press room, though.
It might still be.
A strong possibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, safe flight's over. I'll safe flight for you, Ruby, and enjoy your train journey up there, Rory. Jealous.
Especially the bit from Swindon onwards.
It's top class.
It's beautiful countryside. Just the Wi-Fi is not wonderful. Yeah. But there is a tunnel there that Rory did tell me I was going into.
Oh, yes. That's the point as well.
That's what Ruby doesn't want to talk to us. He just tells us he's going to these mythical tunnels. Right. Listen, everyone, best of luck with your bets. As always, do gamble responsibly. Do check out the help if you do need it on the Paddy Power website, responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. It's going to be a cracking 4 days, and hopefully we get underway with a few winners. A reminder, the fans on tickets are available. Paddy's Pick 5 every day. What else? Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel for all of the build-up. We've got it all listed for you there. And before I sign off, now producer Mark, I think, has gone to bed. That's fine. So I think I've covered everything. Ruby, Rory, we'll chat to you when you're safely ensconced Cheltenham tomorrow. We will be releasing our day two pod on Monday evening, late on Monday evening. We're recording late, and we will be recording late on then Tuesday and Wednesday. And Ruby and Rory be in great form in the press room with a couple of pints beside them as well. Let's look, lads. Thanks very much for joining us.
So obviously, Rory, the people that don't go to Cheltenham who pretend they're working do very little. If they're thinking we're going to be sitting in the press room with pints in us after the day we'll have had.
I'll tell you what, you can't get a pint in the press room.
Really?
You wouldn't be allowed inside the press room with a pint in Cheltenham.
You want to get those fancy water bottles.
You would officially have your accreditation taken off you.
Oh my word.
If you came in with a pint, yeah.
Okay. Would all you? Right.
Oh yeah.
I must remember that.
Check that monster can, see if it's actually monster or booze. All right, lads, look, safe travels over. We'll talk to you when you're over in Cheltenham. Best of luck with your bets.